Bloodied chest. One paw had also been hit and dangled from its shoulder, more blood dripping softly into the pool. Doc looked around for the llama, but he recalled it being knocked from his hand, and it had disappeared into the bushes around his campsite. The sword stick was still at his side, and he reached for it and stood, feeling his legs shaking as though he were suffering from typhoid. The steel slid from its ebony sheath, and Doc had a brief moment of confidence. Then he looked down at the slender strip of metal, across at the half-ton of ferocity a few yards away from him. His confidence ebbed away. Despite its horrific injuries, the cougar was a country mile from being dead. It limped back and forth in the shallows, its eyes watching both the tethered mule and the unsteady figure of the man. Doc advanced slowly, the sword blade ahead of him. The muty cat threw back its head. A spray of misty blood pattered in the water. It pushed Judas into a state of total panic. The mule jerked at the rope again and again.
It's all right, Judas, my dear old friend.
The cougar decided the course of action, trying to leap at Doc, giving Doc the single opportunity that he knew he would have to take. The point entered precisely where he'd aimed it, and Doc leaned on the hilt with all his weight and strength, feeling it slide through muscle and on into its heart. It dropped like a sack of meat. Sensing the death, Judas stopped his thrashing panic, suddenly standing quite still, looking over its sweat-smeared shoulder toward Doc.
Well, now, upon my soul, but that was what writers might call a rather rude awakening, might they not, Judas? I would fling myself upon your neck and weep copiously as we comforted each other, were it not for the fact that I imagine you would snatch the opportunity to bite off my ear, you rascal, you.
Doc walked back to his sleeping bag, sitting down rather more suddenly than he'd intended when his legs ceased to function.
Shock. Clinical shock. Interesting phenomenon. Should have a mug of hot, sweet coffee, but I fear I don't possess such a brew. Perhaps I'll sit a while and rest and recover. After that, Judas, come the dawn, and my hands have stopped their recalcitrant trembling, we shall once again be up and on our way, with a fine adventure under our belts.
Then, somewhat to his surprise and shame, the closeness of his brush with the hideous death caught up with the old man. The attackers had made the mistake of sending in their surviving dogs before risking their own lives against the lethal trio of outlanders. As the slavering, howling brutes hurled themselves into the gap between the broken door and the dusty stone, it was child's play for Ryan to neatly butcher each and every one with his panga. Traders stared at the pile of steaming carcasses.
Now they'll come at us. Nothing for them to wait for.
Ryan wiped the blood-slick blade and stuck it point first in the dirt by his feet.
Might as well keep it handy. Waste of time sheathing it.
JB had taken off his glasses, giving them a final wipe and polish. He carefully adjusted his fedora, then rubbed at the stubble on his pale face.
I would have lacked a decent shave before we go.
Trader reached out suddenly and pulled both men to him, hugging them with a fierce grip.
Couldn't have chosen better company for this. Not even if I'd planned it.
Ryan smiled.
Thing is, Trader, if you had planned it, then it would have turned out better than this.
JB levered around under the hammer of the scattergun.
Here they come, friends!
Ryan stood four square and waited, holding the Sig Sauer loosely by his side.
Let's take some of the bastards with us.
After the initial yelling to build up its own courage, the gang advanced in silence, more slowly, none of them keen to be the first at the tower. In that menacing stillness, it was JB who first heard the noise.
There's horses coming.
Ryan moved to the gap, keeping out of any line of fire, and listened.
Yeah. Abe? Well, what do you know? That runny little son of a bitch came through.
Best get out there to give him some cover.
JB squinted around the broken door.
Friends down the hill have heard it, but they can't see him yet. The rig's behind us, still in dead ground.
Ryan was first out, JB giving Trader a supporting hand into the open.
Don't let him get away!
The musket ball flew high and wide of them, striking chips of stone from the top of the old tower. Once he was around the corner, Ryan saw the hearse, speeding toward them like some creation out of a horror vid. The black horses with their hooves striking fire from the pavement. The polished glass hearse gleaming in the morning sunlight. Abe saw Ryan and stood on the box, flourishing the long whip, the swaying of the rig nearly throwing him off. Ryan waved a hand to Abe and turned and fired two careful rounds from his automatic at the rushing mob, seeing the pair of men at the head both go down, rolling into the gutter in a tangle of arms and legs.
Nice.
Trader hobbled past Ryan, taking cover with JB behind the flank of the building.
I'll have a piece of the action with this before we get out of this place.
Abe was wrestling with the galloping, foaming horses. For a dreadful moment, it looked to Ryan like the little gunner had completely lost control and was going to simply gallop past them, ending up in the middle of the posse. But Abe pulled it off, slowing the team and starting to swing them around in a wide circle in the gravel drive of the water tower.
Good man, Abe!
Ryan ran to the open rear door.
Company down the hill. Trader's taking a hit. Soon as we have him aboard, light out for the country.
A high-velocity rifle bullet whined off the blacktop, less than a yard from the rear wheels of the rig. Abe stayed up on the box, fighting for control. He looked over his shoulder, watching as the armorer unlatched the rear door of the hearse, and helped by Ryan, heaved Trader inside.
Leave it open. I can slow the fuckheads down from here.
Whip them up, Abe!
Ryan stood for a few moments in the classic pistol shootist stance, arm extended, looking down the barrel of the Sig Sauer. He fired several carefully spaced rounds at the advancing mob, putting down at least three men, sending the others scattering to find cover among the bushes and trees. JB climbed quickly onto the box alongside Abe, hanging on the side rail, waiting for Ryan to join them. The little gunner was poised, whip in hand, watching as the one-eyed man swung onto the footplate. Ryan didn't try to climb up alongside JB and Abe, knowing that he would only have impeded the driving of the team.
Now!
The horses began to move, their hooves slipping. Abe lashed them unmercifully to get the hearse on the road. Ryan faced the rear, his gun in hand, ready to open fire on any of their pursuers who were stupid enough to appear. Through the gleaming glass, he could see the traitor had settled himself comfortably into a prone shooting position, Armalite at his shoulder. The first hesitant members of the pursuing mob appeared, and Ryan put a couple of rounds in among them. JB was able to see better from the extra height of the seat.
They're giving up!
Trader fired once more, but the bucking of the wag over the uneven ribbon of highway made further shooting pointless. The first of the ragtag posse had gathered by the old water tower, clearly in a frustrated rage. Then, a turn in the blacktop took them out of sight. Abe eased back, tugging on the reins to slow the team from a full gallop.
Oh, yeah! You done good, Abe, my man!
Want to come up on the box, Ryan? Tight squeeze.
No, I'm fine here, JB. Good work, Abe. The Reaper's blade was a tad too close to our throats back there. You done good.
Oh, sure thing. It took me a while to hitch up the horses. I'd have been here even quicker.
They were approaching an avenue of ancient yews, the dark green foliage thick and lush, some of the main branches spreading out over the road. The attack came without warning. Three men, all slim and wiry, dropped from the overhanging trees, two of them landing on the backs of the lead horses, the third aiming for Abe on the box. All held long-bladed knives. Facing backward, muffled inside the body of the wag, Trader had no idea at all that they were suddenly under attack. The first Ryan knew was when he heard the deep roar of J.B. Smith & Wesson 12-gauge and saw the flicker of movement out of the corner of his right eye. Abe had both hands filled with the reins and could do nothing to dislodge the pair of attackers who were trying to saw through the harness and free the leaders from the traces. Ryan managed to turn himself, fighting for balance against the pitching and swaying of the wag, seeing immediately that they faced a serious problem. JB had been able to kill the first attacker without any trouble, but the other two were over 20 feet away from him, leaning close against the horses they were trying to steal. Ryan hung out over the road, knowing that one slip would send him under the wheels of the hearse. Even with the Sig Sauer, his problem was similar to JB's. A miss would likely kill the animal.
Keep him straight, Abe!
Worried about shooting too low, Ryan fired the first bullet well over the head of the skinny man, then adjusted his aim and put the full metal jacket round through the thief's left shoulder. The man immediately slumped between the leaders, pounded by the horses, then pulped into endless silence under the wheels of the hearse. Warned by the demise of his colleague, the last of the horse thieves had slipped farther down out of range. hanging around the neck of the animal,